Hey everybody. Oh man. Oh, another one. Just another, I mean, was that six in a row? Another loss. It's just, it's brutal right now. It's absolutely brutal, Kraken Nation. Thanks everybody for joining us here. Emerald City Hockey Postgame Live presented by Flatstick Pub. Telling you, if ever there was a time to take advantage after the game of those post-game $1 off beer at the South Lake Union location. This is another good one, right? This is another great opportunity for that. Or to, you know, play some mini golf, play some duffel board, try to get your mind off of things because it's just, it's getting bad, guys. It's not getting bad. It's that it just keeps happening. I want to have a dance party with you all again. I really do. I want to be able to drink Gatorade again. Oh, come on. All right, though. There's some positives from this one. Kraken did have a good home effort, right, to kickstart the six-game homestand. Like, you put up 39 shots on goal against only 17 on the other side. Most of the time, you're going to win that game. It's just right now the Kraken seem immune to winning. Yeah, they're just, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. This was an interesting game in the sense that every goal scored in this one was a player getting lost in coverage, right? Every single one, whether it's the Palat and Nemec goals for New Jersey, whether it was Ty Cartier for the Kraken, they were all great examples. Like, this would be a heck of a game to break down video coach wise of, you know, players finding the gaps in defensive coverage, getting open and being able to score based off of that. So that was kind of like fun to watch, I guess. It's just unfortunate that happened more for New Jersey than it did for the Kraken. I don't know. It's tough. I'm kind of all over the place on this one just because the Kraken did play really well. It was a good effort from them. They get the shot volume. Gru looked good. The defense just made two mistakes, and that was just it. And it's not necessarily fair, but it's the way that the game went. So I'm kind of on the fence. But at the same time, you lost six straight. That's bad. It's not good. Light with the super chat here. Thank you very much, Light. I'll say it. That was the best 60 minutes the team has played all season. Deserved a win with the effort. Play like that, you can change the season. Impressed with Riker too. So there we go. I mean, you're saying it. I guess I was working my way there too, but we'll go with you, Light. It was a really good effort from them. Like, they came out. When was the last time we saw them play all three periods like this, right? It's been a long time since we've seen that kind of consistent, sustained pressure from them. They looked fantastic throughout. I mean, it was just bad luck, right? They hit two posts. Vince Dunn gets a post. McCann gets a post. I think Bjorkstrand got a post even before that. I mean, there was just a ton of posts tonight. It was just one of those games where things just didn't quite go their way, unfortunately. But I'm with you, Light. I thought this was by far and away their best, like, effort level performance that we've seen from them in a long time. And I agree, they did deserve a win given how much they outplayed New Jersey. I haven't looked at the expected goals numbers, but certainly from just a pure shot and chance volume way of things. No, yeah, Money Puck. I mean, they're like 80% on the winometer. Yeah, they deserve to win this game. Impressed with Riker too. Yeah, I was impressed with Riker as well. I thought he played really well. I thought he played pretty conservative for Riker Evans based on what I've seen him do with Coachella Valley or even back in the day with the Pats. I thought he was a little conservative in the defensive zone, but to be perfectly honest, it's kind of what the Kraken need right now. They've been struggling a lot with that, so I'm all right with it. I thought Riker had a really solid game. He had that great play behind the net coming around, trying to sneak one in. That looked really solid. Not too many like issues or lost coverage things. So there's some positives there. Coop, how is it possible for one team to miss as many wide open prime scoring chances as this team does? Post or not, just a million chances against a bad goalie. Just one goal. I'm telling you, we hit the post a lot. Like, it does keep happening, and it is just a bad, like, luck thing. Like, I don't think they think they're playing posts. Like, it's, you know, stick time at the local rink and you don't have goalies. I really don't think that's what's going on with the Kraken. They just, They just can't seem to get it in. Absurdly sane with the crying emoji. I really feel that. The Marcast, winning is not an expectation anymore. A win would be a surprise. Oof. I mean, it's a little harsh, but it's not too far off right now. Being a Kraken fan is an exercise in misery. I feel like we're past the point where they generate chances means anything. Quality chances don't matter when the team is seemingly not skilled enough to actually convert. I would push back on that a little bit. Like, I do think they're skilled enough. Like, Jared McCann capitalized. He had two great opportunities in this one. He capitalizes on those more often than not, right? Like, he is skilled enough to do that. Bjorkstrand, we've seen that from him too. It's just one of those, like, they're doing the hard part, which is getting open. It's creating time and space for yourself. It's getting to the slot. They're doing the supposed hard part, and then you're just supposed to finish on those opportunities, and they cannot finish to save their lives. I don't know what that's about, but they just can't do it. Oh man, Maddie Payne, I feel pain. Young, the gas pedal was on, but nobody bothered to steer. Ryan, positives: Riker, Evans, and effort. Yeah, I agree with that. We talked about Riker Evans. We talked about the effort level. Those were big time positives in this one. So that is definitely something to take away. Like from this is like, look, they are starting the homestand strong. They understand what they need to be doing. So there we go. There is that element of it. Stratic, this game got a message from the hockey gods. Don't even bother trying. No, it's all right. You have to try. Like again, they looked so good in this game. They looked really good, guys. If they play like this more often than not, you will win the game. It's just right now they just can't seem to win a game. It's the problem. Marcast, can we talk about the national ESPN Kraken media bias? Lol. Hey, that's just West Coast hockey. Welcome to being a West Coast hockey fan. The national media is always going to be inherently biased against you. It's just the way it goes. I will say people on Twitter seemed really like on it. They felt like they were really, really picking on the Kraken. And there were some times where it was that way. But also understand, like, we just went on an East Coast road trip and we dropped all of the games. I get why a lot of what they were doing was just basically reporting on the fact that the Kraken aren't playing very well. I don't know that that's totally picking on them so much as it's unfortunately accurate. Let's see. Regardless of how great the chances were, they don't matter if they don't go in, from Sean. Agree with that. Burnt Krem, no finishers. I know. We've talked about that. That's just the number one thing this team needs. Coop echoing that further down. Joey, this is a rebuilding year. No kidding ourselves. They are not a playoff team, not even close. I'm just hoping they show up on January 1st and Vegas doesn't blow us out. I would argue they are close. The standings would say they are close, although that's starting to get a little harder to make the argument with. We'll see. Like I said, I'm reserving judgment until the end of the 6-game homestand, which obviously didn't start very well tonight. But I am reserving judgment. Again, they played with effort. They looked good tonight. They did. This was by far and away the best game they have played since they played the Sharks when I was up there, right? We're talking 2 weeks ago. So I really think that they're playing well. Like, they generated so many chances, 80% on the window meter, that you doubled up shots on them. You more than doubled up shots on them. Like, you played well. Let's see. Tigrana, with the super chat here. New hockey fan here. I'm basically done after this losing streak. They are not playing at the NHL level with stupid mistakes. Absolutely embarrassing. Oh, it breaks my heart to hear that you might be done with hockey. I would say that, you know, this is part of all sports. It's just you go through the ups and downs. The down times like this make the ups that much better because you've experienced the low points. I mean, I was just saying it. They played a really good hockey game tonight. They did. The Devils aren't a bad team. I know they've had their own struggles this year, but the Kraken played a really good game. If they just made two defensive mistakes and the Devils were able to score on both of them, and the Kraken just could not get one past Schmid tonight. I will defend the effort level because that is something that they have struggled with all year. We've called them out. I've called them out on that, right? This isn't me just trying to, you know, back up the Kraken. We have talked about the effort level. It's been obviously not there. Tonight, the effort level was there. They did what they had to do to win the game. This is just hockey where sometimes you hit three posts in a night and you just get unlucky. And the other team doesn't, basically. Like, it is known amongst, like, stats people and the probability people, Vegas, right? Whoever's setting betting odds, hockey is known for having the most kind of random or inherent luck factor of all of the sports. And this was just a night where that was there and it got the Kraken. And it just sucks that it came on the back of them, you know, losing all those games on the road trip and the fact that they were already on a 5-game road trip. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm choosing to look at this, but I understand why it feels like everything is just compounding down on this team and on us as fans, right? Like, it is rough. It's really, really rough. George, unfortunately, moral victories don't get you to the playoffs. That is true. Need a 180 degree turnaround by Christmas, or it's time to start planning on the players to sell at the deadline for picks. Now, I agree with you there. We and RJ talked about this. If at the end of this homestand, the Kraken have not turned things around, that's the season. It's over at that point. So I will agree with you there. Light with another super chat here. This was also just a fun game, to be honest. It was a back and forth game. Like I said, the Kraken kind of dominated it, really. And so that is fun. You know, it was enjoyable to watch. It was far more enjoyable to watch than any of those games on the road trip. I will tell you that. Bahrain, geez, if you want to convince them that putting in an effort isn't worth it. Well, see, that is a concern. You put in that, you know, a hell of an effort tonight. You don't get rewarded. It's hard to then go out there and put in that effort again. Need a true score, which we don't have from Joey. I mean, we have talked about that. That is true. Burakovsky trying to out Schwartz from Burnt Creme. I know. Dude cannot catch a break, although he was able to come back for the third period. But it's just unreal. Absolutely unreal. James, Matty is either a step slow this year or a trick off in terms of, or a tick off where he needs to be, because he just can't seem to put himself in the right spot to score unless he's on that left side dot. So many misses. I think the struggles earlier on in the year kind of got to him and they've shaken his confidence. I think that's where he's at personally. We know that he's been doing a really good job at driving possession, at, you know, helping his team, his line mates generate scoring chances, at being a really good defensive player and a defensive center. It's a very hard thing to do in the NHL, but I do think that his offensive, just like earlier in the year when we talked about this, I think his offensive confidence is just completely shot right now. He doesn't trust himself to take a shot, or he hesitates because he doesn't fully trust himself, and that allows somebody to get into the shooting lane, or it allows a defender to make a play on him and then he's not able to get a shot off clean, or the puck gets poked away from him or something like that. But right now I think it's just a confidence factor with Matty rather than anything else. That being said, that's still not good, and it's still something love to see him be able to work through. Gary, I'm done with Dumoulin. Look, Dumoulin has struggled this year. There's no doubt about that, right? I see Dave's with you. Habak, Dumoulin has to be scratched. Who knows what we could have done without his late penalty. Dumoulin has struggled this year. There's no doubts about that. I thought Schultz has also struggled. It made sense for them to sub out Schultz and put Riker in on that spot. Maybe we see something reversed for the next one. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. He has not played well. I mean, I'll give that to you. He had kind of bounced back from the rough start to the season, but he did not have it tonight. Did not have it tonight. Alan, I'm overly frustrated. The effort was there and we got cheated by the iron, but the effort had to be there for all 60 minutes. Why is every trash goalie a Vezina finalist against us too? Every time. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's crazy. This effort against the worst team would have had a different outcome, I think, from Zoe. I agree. I think, well, even against this team, it should have had a different outcome, right? You play that well against any team in the National Hockey League, you should be winning games. You're going to win games the majority of the time. It's just, you just got got unluckied. You got goalied. It was more that you just got unlucky, right? How many shots just missed the net, or the three that clang off the post, or, you know, I guess two off the post, one off the crossbar, if we want to be specific. But it's just one of those things where it's just, I don't know how to put it in words. I don't know how to keep bringing it up. I don't know how to keep talking about it. It's just so unfortunate. It just came at the worst time. But at the same time, they had the effort. They had the effort this time. And I see you, Burnt Creme, here. Effort is expected. It's not an accomplishment. I'm with you on that, right? I've been kind of calling that out stronger. Talked about it on the deep dive. Talked about it on that road trip in the post-game lives. I am with you in the sense that you're professional athletes. This is your job. You are expected and you are paid to come out and have that effort each and every night. But given how much of a struggle it has been for them this year, whether it's been they've been banged up and they're dealing with injuries or they're playing hurt or whatever it is, I gotta take it and I gotta sing their praises and I gotta hope that it continues and that we can see this the rest of the way, you know, certainly through the homestand, but really for the rest of the season. But I understand where you are coming from, Burnt Creme. I do. Wire bombs from the blue line are first option a lot of the time. Well, if you're generating a lot of screens, or like New Jersey tonight, they do a good job of playing pretty conservative in their own zone. They like to collapse in around the slot, make it hard to get a lot of chances there. And so when that happens, one of the natural kind of consequences of playing that way is that you're going to have a lot of traffic in front of your goaltender. And so what I think the Kraken were trying to do was they were trying to take shots from the point because there was a lot of traffic in front. And if you can sneak that puck through, it's a good chance Schmid was not going to be able to pick it up the whole way. Maybe he doesn't even pick it up at all. So I think that was just them adjusting to their opponent. And look, it worked. They were able to outshoot them by a ton. They got some really good chances. And then by doing that, you cause the wingers especially, but you cause the defense from the other team to have to play up a little bit. They have to get a little bit more aggressive coming up against your defensemen because they are generating all that offense. And then that leaves open holes and gaps for you to exploit further down, higher percentage chances, all of that kind of stuff. But a lot of that was just because New Jersey does a really good job of just being really conservative and just kind of boxing themselves in. They look a lot like the four-man box PK formation. Go back and watch 5-on-5 in this game. It's like they're running a box PK formation at 5-on-5. That's just what they like to do here. Vaheran, Cartier was fun. They completed some passes to their teammates instead of the other team. Again, talking about things that should be the expectation, but it is true. And yes, Cartier was fun. I mean, talk about a guy who the effort thing has not been a question this year with Ty Cartier. Love that he's able to get rewarded with another goal, his fifth of the year. It's really, really nice to see that for him. Definitely happy for him. Let's see. I need more Vince Dunn clappers. He scored last game and should have tonight. It's crazy, but that's our most consistent offensive look from Coop. Again, I talked about, I think that's something that the Kraken would like to do. I think they realize they can't afford, with the way the defense is playing right now, to activate their defensemen all the time. To Daniel's point earlier, this would be another reason why they're taking more slap shots. Can't, you know, try to do backdoor plays with Will Borgen and all that stuff when you're playing so poor defensively, especially through transition. You need your defensemen back. The other way to then have them be involved in the play, which we know Dave Hakstol likes to do, would be to have them take shots from the point like that. So I am happy about that. Let's see. Sean, I knew this was going to come up. I remember a few weeks ago when folks were saying as bad as year one, then we all conceded that the team went on to lose 12 of 15. No way this team could. Yeah, I knew that was going to get brought up. That was RJ, by the way. So we'll see. I still don't think it can be that bad, but I don't know. Maricon, Devils fan who's always been a fan of this channel. Our goalies were bound to have a good game. Yes, you picked a great time for you to have a good game, let me tell you. Thanks for being a fan, though. Really appreciate that. Steven, positive. Riker Evans can play. He's an NHL defenseman. No need to send him back at any point now. You might be onto something there, Steven. I want to see a little bit right? I want to see him against some different teams. I think we'll learn a lot. You know, we'll see what the coaching staff does with the back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. If he plays both of those games, I think that'll be very telling as to whether or not the Kraken think he can stick around and be an everyday guy now. So I'm intrigued by that. But yes, he played better than Schultz, and he played better than Dumoulin have been playing. So he played better tonight than we'd seen anybody on that bottom pairing play. To me, that's a signal that he should be in the lineup. But at the same time, I think that about Shane Wright right now. I'm starting to even think, you know, if, like I said, if this homestand goes bad and you know you're kind of out of it, bring up Shane Wright, get him the reps. Same thing with Riker Evans. Keep him up, give him the reps. Just get him ready for next year when you're looking at being more competitive. Let them have those NHL minutes. So I'm with you there, Steven. Riley, Dean Evason, Seattle head coach, not because it's Hextall's fault. This team needs a wake-up call to try and save the season before we go into tank mode, if need be. We talked about this. If this homestand goes bad, we could see coaching change happen, despite the fact that it's not really Hextall's fault, a lot of this. I don't know that Dean Evason is the answer, to be perfectly honest. I haven't always really been a fan of his. I talk about that a lot on our Patreon podcast, Red Glare. I'm not a huge fan of his tactics, of his ways of motivating. I think it works, but it has a shorter shelf life than other ways of motivating, kind of always being that hammer. Get those rumors from the Minnesota beat writers that he really lost the locker room this year, right? They started struggling, and then his coaching style just really wears on you when you do go through those bumps in the road. I just haven't been a fan, right? Which probably now means he's, of course, going to end up getting the job. But that's where I'm at. I do, though, think it isn't Hextall's fault, but he is the person in charge. And you know what I mean? Like that's part of it. When you are in a leadership position in a results-driven business, the way sports is, that is something that you have to know. But yes, I just don't know about Dean Evason. Sorry. Bay Six, I actually do think bad luck has been a significant part of this season. Still not executing as well as we could, but sometimes you're just snake bit. Look at Donskoy last season, or the season before, really. It was year one. Yes, we talked about this the last two deep dives, right? The fact that the Kraken are generating chances. They should have a lot more goals than they do have. And a lot of that is just they've been unlucky. Now, what's unfortunate is we saw the Kraken as a team be very lucky last year, and it lasted an entire year, right? We saw them having a very high shooting percentage for an entire year. That good luck was there, and it was sustained. On the flip side, bad luck sometimes with teams in hockey can be there, and it can stay there, and it can be a sustained, really long period of bad luck. And unfortunately, the way this just keeps happening to them game after game, I'm starting to think that that might just be the case this year, where it becomes a lost season, not because you played poorly, but just because you weren't able to get enough bounces. And then things start compounding on top of that. And then your confidence gets shot, right? We talked about that with Matty Beniers. I don't think he's the only guy on this team that might be starting to have some issues with that. And it just keeps building and piling on, and you feel more and more of that pressure, and it's hard to win when that happens, right? And so it's one of those things where then the bad luck kind of continues from there, just because you're not able to ever really get into that zone. Stratic, I do think that Money Puck is overstating things based on their model not incorporating pre-shot movement. Easier to hit post when the goalie is square from no pre-shot movement. There's lots of things that aren't perfect about Money Puck or about expected goals or any of that kind of stuff. I 1000% there with you, Striatic. RJ talks about that a lot more than I do, but I'm there with you with that, because especially if you look at like the New Jersey goals, I just happen to have it up right now. You're looking at Nemec's goal, 8.7% chance of scoring, and the other goal, Palat's goal, 7.8% chance. Those guys were completely lost in coverage, had all the time and space in the world, and a goaltender who wasn't in position. Those goals are scored, right? To RJ's point, this is what he's been talking about a lot. Those goals are converted a heck of a lot more than under 10%, right, than 7 or 8%. Like, those are shots that are going to go in at the NHL level over 50% of the time. So that is another, right, this is the example RJ's been using. I'll go ahead and make it here. That's a good example of why it's not always like the best or most accurate model. So I'll give you that for sure. Daniel, Maddie's chance was such a missed opportunity. Christian, Maddie flubbed an easy shot. And then why did McCann not use Gord on the 2-on-1? Tyler Toffoli was playing the 2-on-1 right. I don't know that McCann would have been able to get the pass across to Yanni Gord. Ideally, what you want is, well, realistically, Jared McCann's the best shooter this team has. I want him taking that shot, right? But if he's going to take the shot and you do want to incorporate Yanni Gord, what you would do is you would take a low shot, try to go five hole. And if Schmid closes the five hole, it's going to bounce off his pads and there's going to be a rebound there. And Yanni Gord is the only person in position to go and collect that rebound, because the way Tyler Toffoli is defending that 2-on-1, he's taken away the pass. He's going to go down on his belly. He's going to be taken out of the play from that point on. If you are Jared McCann and you want to get that puck across, you can, you have to use the goaltender's pads. But that being said, Jared McCann, 40 goal scorer, on pace for a high 30s number this year. I'm okay with him just taking the shot. Light with another super chat. I don't know what you all think, but I've observed that Matty makes way more creative plays with Ty on his wing. I think his physical play brings it out. I've talked about this, I haven't talked about this recently, but you are right, Light. Ty is a big guy. He creates a lot of space. Matty has always been at his best, whether it was at Michigan or whether it was, think back to that 10-game stretch he had with the Kraken year one, when he has time and space and he's able to work around the offensive zone, when he's able to scan the offensive zone, when he's able to take the puck and cycle around up high in the offensive zone. That's always been where Matty Beniers is at his best, because he can then get a full picture of where everybody's at, what the defense is doing, and then he's able to kind of surgically strike and just pick them apart. And what Ty Cartier does is, by using his big body, he's able to generate some more space for Matty Beniers to move around, get a better picture of things, and then make something happen. I think part of Matty's struggles has been this year, and we've talked about this, the centers are really being told to attack that slot aggressively, and that's just not his comfort zone. He's not one of those kind of dive down the middle attack with a high percentage danger chance. That's not really Matty's game. Matty's game is to really kind of go around the world in the offensive zone and then pick apart the defense. And right now this year, the system has not been that for the centers. The system this year in the offensive zone has been really hyper aggressive for those centers. And I just don't think it's really fitting Matty's style of play. Let's see. Is it time to start sucking for a better lottery pick from just Michael? Not quite yet, but you know, if things continue like this, yes. Yes. Can we get a lead? First time in a long time. We've never trailed by 2 goals from Gary. Yeah, it's been over 15 days now since the Kraken have led a hockey game. Not good. Not good. let's see. Everybody talking about the ESPN coverage there. Jenna, they look studly out there tonight. I know, talk about the effort. The effort was totally there. Just can't finish. Can't get those chances to drop, unfortunately. Let's see. It sucks when you play just well enough to lose from the basics. That's a good line right there. I'm not going to lie. It's a good line. Chip, I'm so conflicted right now. Sure, playing 60 minutes is a good thing here, but we still lost, so who cares? The hole we're digging feels deeper and deeper. Still have lost 6 in a row regardless. I'm with you. The results speak for themselves. This is still do or die time. Absolutely. It puts even more pressure on the next game. And guess what? The next game is the first of a back-to-back. So it's very, very less than ideal what the Kraken are walking into right now. So I'm there with you, Chip. But if you want to have hope at all, you got to take hope in the fact that the Kraken did play well tonight and they just got unlucky. So it's just, you know, at this point, it's becoming a personal choice of how everybody, you know, wants to individually view the Kraken season and how they're doing right now. They're giving us both, which is interesting. Most teams can't do that. Look how talented our boys are. They can give the optimists among us some hope and things to point to about why they're playing well, and they can give the pessimists, or the realist, if you would rather, something to point to and say, yeah, doesn't matter. we're right there, and so I think a lot of us are conflicted about that, Chip. I don't think you're alone. I know I'm certainly in that place with you. Let's see. Jen, I really thought they looked great. It was fun to watch. True. So they're saying, let's take a moment to remember this is the third year expansion team, and expansion teams are usually horrible for several years. Yeah, I mean, it's just Vegas really broke this model for us. Really, really broke this model. It set the expectations so insanely high. Oh, man. Zoe, I watch for entertainment, and today I was entertained. So there you go. Sports are entertainment first and foremost, right? It's the ultimate form of reality television. It's unscripted, unlike most reality television. And it's why I like sports. Bert Krem, sorry, Dylan, really good game is scoring goals and winning. Otherwise, it's an exhibition. I would disagree with that. There's lots of good hockey games that my team has lost, but I could still recognize that it was a good game. I would disagree with that one, Bert Krem. B, the effort was there, which is great. It's just hard to for it to feel meaningful when it's the sixth loss in a row and they weren't able to finish any of their great chances. It's a sentiment a lot of us are really sharing, it seems like. Dave, don't forget to like the stream, 126 in chat. Let's show our love for Emerald City Hockey, sponsored by Flatstick Pub. Love the sponsor. Shout out there, Dave. Really appreciate it. Yes, like the stream, everybody. RJ should be with us, you know, whenever. I know they were still waiting on Wenberg and Hackstall last that I saw. Wonder what that means. I guess we'll ask RJ when he does join us here. Let's see. I don't think Berkey's ready to come back. That was too big of a scare. It depends. I don't know that Hackstall will tell us anything tonight. Maybe we'll get more tomorrow if they do a practice. I'm kind of split on whether or not I think they'll practice tomorrow, just because you have the back-to-backs over the weekend. I don't know. But yes, it was a scare from Berkey for sure. Let's see. ESPN butchered multiple players' names. Terrible watch. All right, I wasn't talking about that part. That is a problem. Sam, remember when Nemish was our highly projected and most likely first-round pick in 2022 until Montreal opened Pandora's box? I sure do. Yes, I remember that. I had him mocked to us. I was really excited for Simone Nemish to be a Seattle Kraken. Obviously thrilled to have Shane Wright. I think long-term Shane Wright's going to be a wonderful player for the Kraken, as Nemish is going to be for the New Jersey Devils. They're both really good players. It is one of those things that for a long time I had Nemish going to the Kraken and getting past New Jersey because I thought New Jersey would take Slafkovský if he was there. They needed a big physical winger. They ended up trading for Timo Meier, and then they were able to keep him after his contract was up, which was another question. And so that freed them up to look at a Nemish, and unfortunately, you know, he was gone by the time the Kraken picked. But fortunately for the Kraken, Shane Wright was passed over and we were able to grab him. So some good stuff. Fusion Mix, Dumoulin, the Ryan Suter of the Pacific. And I will assume you mean late career Ryan Suter and not like in his prime Ryan Suter. And this is late career Brian Dumoulin rather than in his prime Brian Dumoulin. So, yes, the defense needs help. That being said, both goals, both lost coverages in this game, the defensive pair out there was Dunn Larson. And the first goal, the Andre Palat goal, 1,000% on Adam Larson. He is by far and away more responsible for that goal against than anybody else out there on the ice. And this is me saying this, everybody. Adam Larson's biggest defender, his biggest fan. I've got the deep V from him right here, right? That goal is 1,000% on Adam Larson because he decides to play that so high. When New Jersey comes into the zone, he stops with the guy who pulls up. I don't remember who it is on the backside there, but he decides to stop with him, and two Devils get behind him, including Andre Palat, who of course gets the goal, and that's why he was open and Grubauer had no chance. It was all on that decision from Adam Larson. He just too often lately, guys are getting behind him. Vince Dunn struggling as well on that D pair. That's why I was getting on board with RJ's, you know, kind of theory of maybe breaking up that defensive pair. We saw it again tonight. The second coverage loss wasn't so much on them. That, you know, realistically, Cartier is the winger that should have jumped up and taken Nemish. But I will say that was, you know, for everybody talking about, you know, other defensemen tonight, the two defensemen on the ice when the Kraken were scored on was Vince Dunn and Adam Larson. Autumn, Maddie's contract extension won't be as expensive now. I'm starting to think we're heading towards bridge deal territory just because I can't imagine him wanting to lock in for 8 years coming off of this season. Just being real. Let's see here. Celebrini will be this team's first star, a true first line center. They should trade the dead weight. Not that this team needs any help to tank. Sharks are also tied with the Kraken in wins. Gosh, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. I guess I'm gonna, yeah. I mean, look, I start the prospect scouting reports in January. I guess we're gonna all be paying more attention to those than we really thought we were going to do. Nicole, do you think these lines are staying kind of sick of the shakeups that have no result? I think the forward lines will stay as long as there aren't injuries. Keep in mind, Hakstol was trying to keep these lines together more as the season got on. It's just they've just been so besieged with injuries. Guys like Brandon Tanev in and out of the lineup, Berkey back, but then he's gone, and we don't know if he's going to be gone again. Jaden Schwartz getting hurt. That's been mostly what's causing the shakeups lately here for the Kraken. So that's a little out of his control. But I will say that, like I was just saying, I think the place to start shaking things up, I'm with you. Leave the forward lines alone. I do like these lines to answer your first question. Shake up the defense. Defense absolutely needs the wake-up call. Obviously, bringing up Riker Evans was good. There was a good effort from the club tonight. Defense could still be better. Still could be better. Let's see. It's an interesting chant there to be saying. Let's see for Celebrini that everybody's got there. Coop, honestly, what is our offensive scheme 5v5? I know we try to feed the front of the forecheck right away, but after that doesn't work. We just shoot into screens from 30 feet away. I don't see any strategy. So when we're when they enter the zone really quick, pull out the whiteboard here. When they're attacking in transition, the number one thing the Kraken want to be doing, and this is what I was talking about, doesn't feed into, say, well, it doesn't really feed into Wennberg or Maddie's stuff. So, you know, take that for what you will. The number one thing the Kraken want to be doing is they want to be generating a chance from right in here. They want that low slot look, that high percentage chance. If you're looking at their shot charts, their heat maps, they've been doing a really good job of doing that. They want to create a lot of those chances. A lot of times how they've been doing that is they've been taking the puck and they do the kind of dump and chase thing. They have a winger go low. And then ideally what they want is a winger to collect the puck in the corner, right? And then as the center's streaking in here, make that pass over to the wing, over to the center, allow the center to kind of then get a point blank shot. Maybe they're coming like this and you get it from a little bit more of an angle, but that's what the Kraken are trying to do. Now, when they can't make the pass out to the center, or, you know, they get bogged down here in the corner off the dump and they have to kind of cycle the puck back around and you got another winger here in the other corner and they're bogged down with somebody, that's when we're seeing them pass it back to the point, at which point their plan, like I was talking about earlier, it's just get bodies in front, take that shot from the back and hope that you've got a ton of traffic that the goaltender isn't going to be able to check it. You're going to be able to have numbers down low. Maybe you score off a rebound chance, all that kind of stuff. Kraken have had a lot of good rebound chances this season. They just haven't been able to put any of them home, which is, of course, a problem. I'm not saying it's the best strategy in the world, but that is the strategy, right? You're asking what the strategy is. The idea is to dump it into the corner, break it out of the corner really quick, hit the center coming in the slot. If that doesn't work, bunch up in front of the net, get the shot from the point, win with either traffic in front or collect the rebound and try to put that home against a scrambling goaltender. Again, that's the idea. They execute it well at times. They don't finish it often. Whether they're executing it well or not, they're not finishing on it. So that's where the whole system starts falling apart for them. Elizabeth, thank you for the big super chat. Really, really appreciate that. I had fun with this one. I appreciate the effort, adjustment, and initiative. Loved how Riker played. Wish we had another D call-up. Third pair D is a liability. Is the constant fourth-line rotation holding Yams back? A little bit. I mean, keep in mind, this is kind of where Yamamoto has been as an NHL player. Not to answer the last part with the like most depressing part of this for your super chat here, but you know, Yamamoto was bought out. Like, that's why he was a free agent this year, was Detroit bought him out of his contract. Edmonton had traded him over there. They bought him out of his contract. So that's kind of where Yamamoto was as a player anyway, was he was being paid like a top six or a middle six guy, but he was kind of playing more of a bottom six. He was producing at a bottom six level. So the Kraken were able to bring him in at a bottom six price tag, and that maybe worked a little bit more there. So I would say that that's just kind of where Yamamoto is as a NHL player at the moment. Right now, I don't think that the line rotation is really doing that to him. I'm with you. The third pair D, it's a liability. Like I said, Riker Evans, he could fix some things. He's going to struggle defensively at times. I don't think we really saw that tonight, which is good. And I'd love to be wrong about that. I really would. But yes, Dumoulin, Schultz, whoever is in the lineup, if it has been a struggle. And then, like I said, really tonight, the first pair was by far and away the one that they struggled with the most. All right, we got RJ here. So let's bring RJ in. RJ, kind of you to join us here 40 minutes into the post game.
Yeah, I'm so sorry I made you wait this long, Dylan. This has got to be top three, the longest it's taken for us to kind of get through the media. We got Ty Karche right away, which was kind of odd, and then a long wait for Alex Wedberg, and then another long wait for Dave Haxtell. You know, as far as the takeaways from everyone in this game, and you could definitely see the frustration on a lot of the players' faces in the room. And I think frustration was kind of the key word in this one, because they felt like, I think a lot of us did, that they did everything they could except score a goal there to tie that game. There were a lot of good chances, and Ty Karche kind of started off with that sentiment. He said, if we play like this all game, if we continue to play this way going forward, we're in a really good spot. And I do agree with that. And Alex Wenberg was a little bit tougher on, you know, on himself and the team and everything. You know, he said there, you do have to do the things to go that extra little mile to make sure you get those goals, whether it's screening the goalie or just getting there for some close rebounds. He said it is tough. It feels like we're missing a lot of pucks right by the net by just a little bit. But you know, the more you get guys to the net, the more pressure you put on there, the more you get in the goalie's eyes, the more that's going to help you out, you know, kind of get over that hump to get past a good goalie. And then as far as Dave Haxtell, I thought he really expressed, you know, that he was kind of proud of the effort from his team. He said, we played our tails off tonight. He said, it's a tough result, but we put in that hard work and we just feel like we aren't really getting the results of that hard work quite yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's been the vibe in here? I'm curious. It's been 40 minutes now. I'm sure a lot of frustration with the results of this game, because I think I'm happy with the effort. I'm sure a lot of people see the effort tonight. It looks very different than the last two games. The result isn't there, and you look at the standings and this team is in trouble.
Yeah, and that's basically where everybody's been at. Like, conflicted is really one of the words that a lot of people are using. Otherwise, things have been great. Got 132 people in here right now. Like, love everybody's having a good time in chat. By the way, everybody, I just went all the way down to the bottom of chat, so if I skipped over anything, feel free to add it in down there. That's kind of where I'm going to hang out now for the rest of the stream here. Yeah, conflicted, because yes, you want to be happy and you want to be proud of the effort that the guys are putting in. But at the end of the day, RJ, we're also all kind of being realists, and you can put in a ton of effort, but if you're not getting goals, if you're not scoring, if you're not winning games, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and Dave Haxtell even alluded to that too. He said, you can put in all the work, you can put in the effort, but you need to, the effort isn't enough. You have to execute. And then he added, he felt like they executed well tonight, but still just didn't get the result. Also, I do have some news, some bad news, actually, on Andrei Burakovsky. So Haxtell gave a bit of an update. He said he was, in fact, not available at the end of the game, and they're going to have to reevaluate his status a little bit later. So we can consider Andrei Burakovsky injured again.
Okay.
Sorry to say that. I mean, you know, he missed the end of the second period, and you know, after taking that hit, he played a few shifts in the third period, and I think just wasn't feeling quite right. I don't know if the broadcast showed it all, but we certainly noticed on the bench he was feeling very he was looking like he was feeling very uncomfortable. He was kind of hunched over. He kept, you know, kind of trying to feel out that shoulder area, and it just looked like he was in some serious discomfort there. So he didn't play the final like 11 minutes or so of the game.
Yeah, it's I don't remember seeing that on the ESPN broadcast, but yeah, that's unfortunate to hear. I guess the line shuffles is gonna be back in effect, RJ. We talked about that earlier. We were hoping that the lines would kind of stabilize a little bit, just, you know, no more injuries, but here we are.
Yeah, what do you think of his? You may have talked about it already, but what do you think of his game when he wasn't hurt?
He was fine. Now, look, this in some ways, it doesn't entirely surprise me, right, RJ? Because like just a week ago, I was saying he didn't look like he was particularly close in practice back when he still had the red no contact jersey. He wasn't taking shots. He wasn't using his shoulder at all. It felt very fast, him like all of a sudden he's better and he can shoot the puck and he's doing all of those things. So in some ways, I guess now, like hindsight, right, I'm feeling like maybe this isn't too surprising. I thought he looked okay in the game, right? He looked rusty. He looked like somebody who has played a handful of hockey games in the last 12 months, which is what he is.
Yeah, and he kind of alluded to that this morning a little bit, saying he just has to simplify and knows there's that curve of getting back. But I thought it was interesting, too, because Hakstol mentioned that, like, so Berkey's been chomping at the bit to get back into the lineup. And this morning he was asked, okay, you know, what does that look like? You know, when you're telling your coach, how do you let your coach know if you're going to get back in there? And Burakovsky did mention that during the road trip, he was telling Hakstol, I want to play. I want to play. Let's get in there. And so then they arranged, you know, to have another a doctor see him and, you know, kind of see if he could give that evaluation, give the green light there.
Yeah, Dave pointing out, I remember when Berkey came back and seeing him talk to Yamamoto and seeing Yam's face, I knew it was bad. And Rachel agreeing with that as well. I mean, lots of people upset by that news, obviously. It's not a great thing. Chip saying, who's going to be the call-up tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I mean, I you don't really need a call-up necessarily. I mean, you've got, you know, the healthy scratch. Maybe Belmar comes back into the lineup or something, but I don't know. Maybe they could call up someone from Coachella Valley. I don't know who's left. Maybe one of the guys. Wait, you'd say Shane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it. I think this is do or die time for the team, right? We talked about this.
Yeah.
The more I'm thinking about it, insert him into that, right? Like it's at least do or die time based on the effort I saw tonight from the team. They all seem to be there. I don't think you have to worry about him walking into like a toxic locker room where everybody's like losing all hope and everything, because that's not what this team looked like tonight. So I think, you know what, Shane Wright, he looked really good while he was in there. Go ahead and give him another couple of games. Again, you got 6 games to work with still before you'd have to burn a year off his ELC. You got 5 games left on this homestand that you need to win. Might as well bring up Shane for those.
You know what? At this point, now that I've seen what I really thought was pretty much a full 60-minute effort from this team at home, I'd be more okay with it. I feel like, and certainly, you know, having come from the locker room and everything, where you could see the atmosphere, although there was a lot of frustration, it wasn't miserable. Nobody was down on themselves. They knew the work that they put in tonight. Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem bringing him into this.
Yeah. Stradic, I do feel like the kinds of chances the Kraken are trying to generate are very luck sensitive. It can swing either way because you need a bounce or a snipe. These aren't open net looks from passing. So the whiteboard's already been out, RJ. I've been talking about what the Kraken have been doing, and basically, The whole idea is, right, kind of dump it into the corner, have somebody collect that, throw that out to somebody streaking down the slot. If that's not there, get it back to the point, create a bunch of chaos net front, and then take the shot from the perimeter. Yeah, in some aspects, some of that is more luck-based, right? You're hoping that your center is open when you collect the puck and you're able to freely move it to him. And then from the perimeter stuff, you're hoping for a screen, or you're hoping that the rebound bounces to your guy. That being said, RJ, They are getting good looks. That's how you get 3 posts hit like tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they were generating a lot off of those type of chances. And, you know, I guess it can be a little bit more luck sensitive as opposed to other ways where you know, kind of focus on generating offense more cleanly, like off rushes, things like that. But a lot of that is high-end skill-based. And it's, you know, the kind of skill the Kraken don't really have. We've talked about this. You know, they don't have a guy like, you know, maybe a Jack Hughes on the other side tonight. Or some of those guys that can kind of create on chances like that. So I think you just have to put in the work, hope the bounces go your way. I still think it's the best strategy for them.
Yeah, that being said, you look at all 3 goals scored tonight, RJ, and they are all scored by players who found gaps in coverage, right? These are all missed assignment goals, all 3 of them tonight. And given the way the Kraken play, when you just kind of bunch up things net front, especially against a team that plays a very conservative style of defense, 5-on-5, the way the Devils do, you don't give yourself much of an opportunity to have guys get open in shooting spots. You don't have them, you know, find gaps the way like a Nemec did tonight, right? Where he's able to walk down and kind of sit in that gap and collect the puck and score. I do wonder if that would be something that would be better. If the Kraken did try to spread out a little bit more in the offensive zone, you're forcing the D to spread out, and then you can potentially try to find those gaps, get guys open in slightly better scoring areas.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that we've seen from the Kraken at times when things are going well, too. You look at the Nemec goal, and I think that's a defenseman who identifies that the forward who's supposed to be covering him has kind of lost focus, lost track of him. It was Ty Cartier there,
yeah.
And he sneaks down low, and he's the recipient of a pass. And, you know, we know the Kraken defenseman can activate, can do things like that. It's just a matter of actually going ahead and doing it and kind of giving them the green light. I think they were maybe a little bit more conservative in that with Riker Evans coming in. Not wanting to make the mistakes, and I don't fully blame them there, but still, you know, it's the kind of thing I think could help them offensively.
Yeah. B, injury luck has been abysmal this year. Karmic balance after last year, mostly injury free. Sure feels that way. It feels that way with both the injury luck and the shooting percentage luck, RJ.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I tweeted earlier today that like the Kraken have already used the same number of different skaters this season, 26. That they used all of last season, which is just wild that it's this early in the season. Although this is closer to normal. This is what most teams experience, I think. Last season, they were just uncommonly healthy.
Yeah. Coop, rushing him back would be a bad mark on team management. I really hope that's not true. I don't think it's true, right? Like, I was just surprised by how fast it all seemed to come together. That being said, that has happened for injuries before.
Yeah, although, I mean, if you look at the initial timeline that was given when he was hurt.
Yeah, it fits.
Yeah, it fits. It was 6 to 8 weeks. We're just a little over 6 weeks. It's within that window. If he came back after 5 weeks or so, I'd really be questioning it. But it just seemed like it all fit. And he had the time to ramp up as well. Like Hackstall mentioned that it was his third practice yesterday, like a third full practice doing everything. You know, and at that point, he hadn't had any negative results. But you can never really know until you get to that game situation and you take a hit like that.
Well, and I was going to say, do we know that it's a re-aggravation of the same thing even?
We don't. I mean, you know, it's an injury in the NHL where we're probably not going to know. But you saw the hit in question that it looked like caused it. And it was kind of up high, kind of in what felt like the same area. Watching him on the bench, he was kind of, you know, working out the shoulder kind of thing. So I think it's probably the most likely outcome, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah. People talking about making a Chris Tanev trade here. I mean, what did you think of the defense of this one, RJ? Right? Riker Evans comes in. I guess, what are your thoughts on Riker Evans? I've been talking with everybody about him. Everybody pretty positive.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And the players and Hackstall were certainly very positive at talking about him. I mean, Wenberg said he's a heck of a player. You know, he showed what he can do. Hackstall said he belongs in this league. He's ready for this league. And I, after watching him in this game, I agree. I mean, there was really only one play I kind of noticed where he maybe made a mistake, got walked a little bit in the first period. But other than that, I mean, he looked excellent. He looked confident. That's the number one thing, too. And Hackstall even mentioned that, too. He said, the things I'm looking for are like confidence and consistency. And Evans brought that tonight. He didn't shy away. He pinched when he needed to pinch. That move toward the end of the game in the third period behind the net where he kind of like banks it off between his legs, like that's a confidence move that you could tell he's feeling it. So, yeah, I liked what I saw from Riker Evans. I certainly hope he's in the lineup next game. I think he's earned it. And I want to see where he can build off of from this because I still think he's the second best power play quarterback in the organization right now.
Yeah.
I want to see, you know, with more chances what he could do on the power play too.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. We didn't really get to see that much from this one, right? The first power play opportunity lasts all of 5 seconds before it's 4-on-4. And then later on, right, he fumbles the puck along the blue line and Hackstall's like, all right, come here for a second. We weren't able to see that, but he responded by making that move that you talked about, right? Like that was his next shift after that, after getting pulled off that power play unit, right? He responds with the play of the night for him. So I love seeing that. I also love the idea of like saying that he looks confident because he has one expression at all times. The idea that he ever look anything other than just what the one expression he has is just fun to think about.
It's true. And also one more thing on Riker Evans too, that was kind of cool to see. Like we noticed that when we got in there, like everyone was kind of getting undressed and his locker stall was like totally cleaned out. And so we're like, oh, but then we realized it's because he went to go see his family after the game. And I just think that was great. But we saw him on the walk in on the way out and he looked, you know, pretty happy about having just talked to his family after his first NHL game.
Yeah. He gets that little, like that hint of a smile And that's, mm-hmm, that's how you what know it was. That's how you know he's really feeling it when he gives you that little bit. Some pushback here on the idea of bringing up Shane. Steven's going to the game in Abbotsford tomorrow, so definitely wants to be able to see Shane for that one. Understood. Burnt Krem, my question again, if you lose both games this weekend, does Hackstall make it to Monday morning?
I still think he does. I think they at least give him the rest of the homestand.
Yep.
You know, if he goes winless on the homestand, then I think all bets are off. But
yeah, I'm with you. I think he gets all six games of the homestand, especially after the effort that they put out tonight. I mean, it can't be overstated, RJ. He had 39 shots on goal to 17. That doesn't just happen, you know?
Yeah, and if you continue this effort through the rest of the homestand, you're going to get points, you're going to get wins, and you're going to start to turn things around. I mean, this is kind of where we were at after the Toronto game, right? Where they had a really good effort. You know, they lost a very close one goal game, and we maintained, like, okay, if they keep this going against Ottawa and Montreal, they're fine. They're going to turn things around. They didn't. Yep. So this weekend is going to be very telling as far as, is this team past those issues? But, you know, I guess we'll find out.
Exactly. We've had some Devil fans in here. This is a new one. Maverick attacks RJ. Devils fan here. I was really impressed with the way the Kraken played tonight. Suppressed our fast breakout most of the night. Made us punt a million times. Just hit some posts. It's true. I mean, the Kraken did outplay the Devils in this one. Like, it just sucks, RJ, that one of those, you know, normal hockey bad luck games had to come after you just finished a winless road trip.
Right. In this context, it's just kind of that more painful. But it was also cool to see Dave Haxtell talk about the blueprint against the Devils. There's a guy, Trey, from Locked On Devils, who was there this morning at Morning Skate. And so he asked Haxtell some Devils-specific questions. You know, what do you want to do specifically to shut this team down? And he mentioned the speed. He mentioned those fast break rushes that you have to be able to neutralize, you know, and talked about the importance of, like, being in the right position for that. And then seeing it come together on the ice tonight was really cool. Because usually we don't get that much of insight as far as, like, the game plan for a specific team. He's always, you know, it's about our game, it's about what we do. But I think because there was a visiting reporter there, he, you know, wanted to give him a little something.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to get that insight and see it come together on the ice.
Definitely. Berkey said he was hella depressed on Kraken Radio, by the way, from DDB. Rachel, we're also depressed, Berkey. Rexology, I like that Ryker Evans played conservatively. Shows that he can play that way and build his offensive game as he settles in. Keep him up. I really like that from Rexology, because that's very true. And that is something that you would love to see from a young guy, you know, making his NHL debut and trying to say, hey, I can stay here. Like, watch me cook here. Watch me grow. Watch, you know, get excited alongside me.
Yeah. And this was a game too, where you can't afford to make mistakes. And he knew that. And I think Ryker Evans just really met the moment tonight. He played exactly the way that he needed to play.
Yeah. Definitely. This is from that same Devils fan. Hope you guys are treating Larson well. Can't believe the kid from the Devils 2012 finals run is already in his 30s. I don't think we've ever talked with him about that, RJ. That would be an interesting one there. Yes, and Rebecca saying we are a pro Lars group in here for sure. I was critical of him on the Palat goal. He allows two guys to get behind there.
Yeah,
he played up high. I was critical on that. But yes, overall, Maverick.
Overall, Seattle is very, very pro Adam Larson.
Very pro Adam Larson. Definitely.
As are we.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got one of his actual deep V sweaters right here. Dave, especially with struggling viewership on TV, free hockey games on TV are much needed. Oh, yeah, we haven't even talked about that tonight. Oof, that's a lot there. We'll leave that one for another time as we're approaching the hour mark here. Chip, I think the Wild and the Blackhawks are our best chances for wins in the home stretch. Maybe the Lightning, since we beat them once this season. Panthers and Kings are almost certain L's, I think. I will say, historically, we've always played very well against both the Panthers and the Kings. So there is that. I will also say, I mean, it's kind of weird. The Lightning are starting to turn it on right now. I'm not the Lightning. The Wild are starting to turn it on. Lightning are really struggling right now, with the exception of Kucherov.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're beatable. And the Kraken have done it already this season, too.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, RJ, that you lose five games, including all those games on the road trip. Then you come back, you have a great effort tonight, but you get unlucky and you drop this game. And then you got to walk into a back-to-back over the weekend.
it's rough.
I keep waiting for things to change, for things to get a little bit easier for this group, and it just, it's relentless.
I know, we keep saying the schedule is going to lighten up, but it just hasn't, and it doesn't look like it's going to soon, but, you know, eventually you'd think they'll get a little bit more time.
Yeah, definitely. Alan, I'm going to be getting my Winter Classic jersey stitched this summer after the traffic dies down a bit. Can't hold back. It's got to be Big Cat. Love the pick. They've already run out of the numbers and letters to do the stitching for the Winter Classic jerseys once. I like the overall strategy of maybe waiting till summer, but I would keep in contact with Kraken team stores and see about how, you know, whether or not they were going to make it to summer. So I just want to give you that, throw that out there. B, Kings road win streak is crazy this year. Yes, they've won 11 road games to start the season, RJ. I think that there's a new NHL record.
I could see the team. It is a new NHL record. I don't know. I could see the Kraken as the team to beat. That they match up well against the Kings. It means they're due. I mean, they came close against Columbus, who's not very good, you know, the other night. I'm feeling that as the game that streak breaks.
Yes, and also, look, the Kraken are the team that goes into other people's building and ends their home win streaks. Maybe this is the time they defend the deep, RJ.
Yep, defend the deep. That's the motto of this season. Got to do it at some point.
Yep, as Fusion Mix is saying, Kings are due for a trap game. And then I think we'll end on this one, Coop, from Coop here. Talk about the Montreal goalie stuff. What the heck's up with that? Do you know what's up with that, RJ? Because that kind of came out of nowhere yesterday.
Yeah, I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me personally. I mean, I aired my thoughts on Twitter very quickly, like, because it would be one of Jake Allen or Caden Primo. If it's Jake Allen, he costs almost $4 million and he's through next season, assuming you can't move Grubauer, which I'm certainly going to assume. That means you have almost $10 million in the crease next season. For two guys who are over the age of 33, both of them have sub-900 save percentage. Like, that's kind of already the problem. So I don't think that's a good idea. And if it's Caden Primo, I don't know that he's an upgrade over Joey Decord. Like, I posted the two of their stats in the NHL and AHL right next to each other. I know those numbers don't tell the whole story, but, like, there is nothing numbers-wise you could look at that tells you Caden Primo is a better goalie than Joey Decord.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know where it came from. It very much surprised me. I guess we'll wait and see. Of all the things for the Kraken to be involved in trade market-wise, that was the last thing I thought it would be.
I can tell you, neither Jake Allen nor Caden Primo would have helped them win this game.
That is very true. Very, very true. All right, everybody. I think that's going to do it for this. One more big shout-out to Flatstick Pub. Again, reminder at that South Lake Union location. I'll get back to showing off the pictures for my trip up there. Pre-game, if you're going to the game, you show your ticket there at that South Lake Union location. Get 50% off games such as duffel board, mini golf, all that great stuff. And then post-game, you get your dollar off beer if you stop there on your way out. From the game, great, fantastic deal, lovely atmosphere, can't say enough good things about it. So I want to thank them for sponsoring the post game as they do all year. That's going to do it for us here, and we will see you all after the next one.